with his partner in godlike ascendance!
Han pretended to scratch his nose to hide his smile, but Scarlet's expression had gone serious again. Hunter Moss was a buffoon and a blowhard, but Scarlet at least seemed to be taking his bragging very seriously.
You have Ezio Galassian's project notes, the spy said. The report he was preparing for the Emperor.
Hunter Moss grinned at her and pretended to shoot her with his fingertip.
The beautiful woman is more than she appears. She has heard of Hunter Moss's victory. Yes, yes. The report of the great villain Galassian, the spoiler of ancient graves, and Tony to the Mad Emperor. Hunter Moss has the only copy of his greatest work, the Master Discovery, that will remake the galaxy forever. Only Hunter Moss!
Galassian's not dead,
Scarlet said.
He can write the report again. Whatever you have, the Empire does also.
All the more reason to act quickly, yes?
What is in this report?
Leia asked. Hunter Moss spread his hands in a wide gesture that took in the room, the city, the world. He leaned forward, his spine straightening. Whatever the man was about to say, Han had the sense he'd rehearsed it a lot.
The galaxy is filled with thousands of species, Royal Lady. Thousands of different shapes of minds. Most, they are of a piece. But some are changed. They find those things that no other can see. Most are turned outward, to the stars and the great community of life. But some turn in to block away the stars. To protect themselves from such as you, yes? Or I?
Silly them,
Han said, and Scarlet shot him a sharp look. Hunter Moss, however, wouldn't be derailed.
Such a species were the Kakaibak. Brilliant and fearful. Their race rose, flourished, and passed to the great emptiness of time, all within the realm of one small planet. But the mysteries they uncovered there were profound, deep, yes? Had their temperament been other than it was, we should all still bow down to a Kakaibak master. Yes, even Hunter Moss, such was their power. They were a young species when the invaders came. Long before the Empire, long before the Republic, their suffering was under stars of a different color. So long ago, this happened. With great wars, they cast off oppression's yoke. And once free, the brilliant, twisted minds of the Kakaibak bent themselves to protection. They took the oppressors' ships, their weapons, all the technology that had placed the boot upon their necks. And what did they do with it? Did they create a fleet to annihilate? No. They delved deep, deep into the mysteries of physics and built themselves a tool to wrap their star in safety forever. The greatest weapons in the galaxy were as nothing to them. They lived the span of their people's lives and died undisturbed by even the most vicious conquerors.
Leia nodded.
That's fascinating,
she said in a tone that suggested it might not actually be fascinating.
And I assume you're here to sell whatever defense technology they discovered?
Alas, no. Hunter Moss instead has the map. The secret coordinates that will lead the wise and powerful to the dead world of the Kakaibak. There to retrieve the secret that will lay the galaxy at their feet.
Will this shield protect against something as powerful as the Death Star?
Leia asked. Hunter Moss sneered.
Death Star? The Kakaibak laugh at this Death Star! Ha!
It destroyed my home planet,
Leia said, and the hardness in her voice caught even Hunter Moss's attention.
and I grieve with you. But ask yourself this, royal lady. What power would it have if it could not move? Could it have destroyed your world from across the galaxy? I think not.
Hunter Moss wagged his eyebrows. Han and Chewie exchanged a puzzled glance. Scarlet's sharp breath cut through the air.
Why would they be across the... Oh, hyperspace, she said. They found a way to control passage through hyperspace.
Han felt his gut tighten. Hunter Moss's comic smile suddenly seemed a lot less funny.
The twiggy little woman is correct,
Hunter Moss said.
They had in their hands the key to controlling all of space, yes? Of saying not who is permitted to go from there to here, but for whom it is possible. Put your Death Star in a system, turn loose its power, and the man who commands it can become the Emperor of Gravel. At sublight speeds, his grandchildren's grandchildren's grandchildren might perhaps threaten another planet. The Imperial fleet with its host of destroyers is nothing if it cannot travel. The Emperor himself, if he cannot send his little men where he wishes, what is he? Nothing! Less than nothing! The greatest gun in the galaxy is of no use when you have no one to point it at!
Leia's face was pale, her lips so thin they almost vanished. It was a tribute to her strength that when she spoke, her voice was as calm and friendly as it had been at the meeting's start.
That could be interesting. What are you asking for that information?
Highest bidder,
Hunter Moss said.
Who knows how far it could go, yes? Perhaps the Hutts will give Hunter Moss his own planet! Perhaps Black Sun will give him 100 planets!
Well, the Empire will give him a blaster shot through his eye, Scarlet said. And they know where you are. You don't have a great deal of time for this. We saved you once. If you work with us now, we can guarantee your safety.
What is safety to a man such as Hunter Moss? He lives through the greatness of his spirit and the nobility of his soul. Plus which, he has meetings scheduled for the next 3 days. There is no advantage in selling anything to anyone until those conversations are complete.
Leia leaned forward and put her hand on Hunter Moss's wrist. Han could hear the tension in her voice, tight as a tow cable under high load.
The man you took this from, Galassian, he knows where this thing is. You have to see that the Empire will be moving to secure it.
They are bureaucrats,
Hunter Moss said.
They would take years to clean spilled paint if the forms were not just so.
They're also a totalitarian dictatorship that will kill people who don't bow to the Emperor's will quickly enough. If they want this thing, and they do, we won't know it until we're all trapped with dead drives in whatever system we happen to be in.
Then you should all make your offers to Hunter Moss quickly!
I'll give you 50 million credits for it right now,
Leia said. Han felt a moment of dizziness at the idea of such a sum. More than enough to pay off Jabba. More than enough to buy Jabba if he felt the need for a pet slug. He had no idea the rebels could put their hands on that kind of money. Hunter Moss's eyes faded into something like pity.
Hunter Moss would like a planet. No less.
Leia's smile twitched. She rubbed her chin like a man checking for stubble.
A planet? She said.
What did you call it? Totalitarian dictatorship. Hunter Moss would like to be emperor of his own little world. Just one. Is it so much? The Emperor holds the power of life and death over half the galaxy. To give Hunter Moss one little world would mean freeing so very many people. Surely that trade would be fair.
100 million credits. And any ship in the Rebel fleet, but you have to take the deal now, before you leave this room.
A smallish planet, with many, many beautiful women.
Fine, Leia said. You can have it.
Oh, poor, poor royal miss,
Hunter Moss said, patting her hand. The rat bird hopped down to the table, chirruped, and defecated prodigiously.
You are lying. Hunter Moss understands. Take time to think. Hunter Moss will be making no decision for several days. It will be time for her to make a real offer.
You can't do this, Leia said.
Hunter Moss cannot be stopped,
he said almost gently.
Oh, I think he can, Scarlet said.
Captain Solo?
Han drew his blaster. The R3 droid squeaked an alarm and extruded a small electrical lead that sparked and crackled. Chewbacca bared his teeth and stepped forward. The droid and the ratbird both moved back, but Hunter Moss curled his lips disdainfully.
Your Wookiee may kill Hunter Moss, he said. If you wish to see the Empire win, it will not matter to Hunter Moss. He will be dead. Is that what you want? To see the Empire win?
Does it mean pulling your arms off?
Han asked.
Because then, maybe.
Let him go,
Leia said. No one moved except the ratbird, and it crawled under Hunter Moss's red and gold cape and blinked out at them malevolently. Scarlet's eyes were narrow. Chewbacca growled deep in his throat.
I said let him go,
Leia said.
Put your weapons down and let the man go to his meetings.
Han clenched his jaw, but he put the blaster back in its holster. Chewbacca roared and pounded the table with his fist, leaving a dent. The Wookiee paced back to the corner to glower.
Hunter Moss rose, stretched, and bowed to Leia.
You are as gracious to Hunter Moss as you are lovely, royal lady. Do not think I will forget you. Oh, no. Hunter Moss knows what a debt of honor is due. When I have the bids of the others, I will give you the opportunity to beat them.
Thank you so much,
Leia said. Her sarcasm would have left blisters on a more sensitive man.
In truth, Hunter Moss would have been disappointed if you had not tried to intimidate him.
The little man blew Scarlet a kiss, flourished his cape, and swaggered from the room. The ratbird hunched on his shoulder, and the R3 rolling at his heels as if it was afraid of being left behind. For a long moment, the only sound was the muted music from the cantina. Leia leaned back in her seat, laced her hands behind her head, and said something obscene.
So, Han said, turning to Scarlet, that was the guy who got the data you were after.
He got lucky.
Oh, hey, no criticism here. There's no shame in being beaten by a smooth operator like that. I mean, did you see his boots? They were shiny. No reason to be embarrassed just because you lost a sensitive operation to a shirtless man with shiny boots.
You're enjoying this.
Just the part where that guy was better than you, he said. The rest of it scares the heck out of me.
Leia stood up and cocked an eyebrow.
All right. So if he takes this to the Hutts or Black Sun, they'll give him whatever he wants. Or the Empire will come rain fire on all our heads. Or they'll get to this device, wherever it is, and none of this will have mattered at all.
What lovely alternatives,
Scarlet said.
So we steal it from him,
Leia said.
Give me until morning,
Scarlet said.
I'll need to find out where he's staying. If it's in his ship, that will actually be easier. If he's put himself in the care of the Conclave Hive, trickier but possible. They put a lot of thought into keeping people safe and information private. All right,
Leia said.
I'll be making a series of panicky calls to the Alliance, arguing over how much we can offer him.
Why?
Han asked.
So that he thinks we're still at the negotiating table,
Leia said.
As long as he believes he's winning, we're on the right track.
And what do you want us to do?
Han asked, nodding toward Chewbacca.
Be his bodyguard,
Leia said.
Make sure no one kills him before we get this information.
Chewbacca's outraged howl filled the room.
I don't like it any better than you do,
Leia said. Her chin tilted all the way up to look the Wookiee full in the face.
But I don't have a choice. Hunter Moss is a terrible, stupid, venal little man who is playing way out of his league. He's probably going to get himself killed. But he's got the upper hand right now. If the Empire gets a power like this, or Black Sun does, or the Hutts, it will mean the end of all freedom in the galaxy forever.
Scarlet nodded, her expression grim.
So, Han said, what'll it mean if we get it?
Chapter 18. The Conclave Hyde had four different classes of accommodation. For the attendees of the conference with the greatest number of people and the greatest power, there were seven private buildings where the administrators could simply hand over the pass keys and give people control over, and responsibility for, their own security. Down from that were high security cells, hardly better than prison, with guards and surveillance and a constant patrol of small flying droids armed with blasters and strict orders about who could and couldn't walk the hallways. The third were private sleeping rooms available for rent inside the Conclave Hive itself, convenient to the meeting rooms and bars. And the last were dormitory bunks for groups of soldiers or multi-bodied hive mind pods that didn't mind being packed into tight spaces with no privacy. Han wasn't at all surprised to see Hunter Moss sauntering toward the third-class rooms. A man who needed a droid and a ratbird for his entourage wasn't going to accept the worst rooms, and he couldn't afford the best. Han slumped under a massive slick-trunked tree across an open courtyard, cleaning his fingernails and watching through a great glass wall as Hunter Moss negotiated with the droid responsible for portioning out the rooms. Scarlet's voice came to him, thin and tinny.
All right, she said. I've got him. You can step away.
Han didn't answer directly, but turned his back to the accommodation suite and walked along the pathway through the hive. A crowd of thin-faced, mean-looking humans scowled at him as he passed a little garden. Han touched his forehead in mock salute and didn't break stride. It was nearing midnight in Talistin City, and the foot traffic in the Conclave Hive had a furtive feel. People moving between one clandestine rendezvous and another, eyeing one another warily. Everyone trying to see who was nearby without themselves being seen. Right now, everything was for sale on Kiamur. Weapons and drugs and slaves, loyalty and betrayal. And thanks to Hunter Moss, the future of the galaxy. The bad thing was that it meant shadowing Hunter Moss had been tricky. The good thing was that it had been possible. And with Han and Scarlet working together to trade off observing and protecting their target, they'd managed without being spotted.
Hey!
A voice whispered. Han glanced over. A rail-thin Nogri with a heavy brow and permanently bared teeth hissed.
I'm looking for transponder IDs. You selling IDs?
I'm not selling anything, sister. I'm just a peaceful-minded civilian on a walk,
Han said. She smiled and nodded. They were both lying, and they both knew it. At least they could be cheerful about it.
We're clear,
Scarlet said in his ear.
He's paid up and they've assigned him a room. Head back in.
What about his droid?
He took it in with him, Scarlet said. The common area is clear.
Not leaving it as a sentry? Wow,
Han said.
This guy really is an amateur.
Think I'd mention that.
It's just that you're such a professional. Still trying to figure out how you lost to him.
Haven't lost yet. Still playing, she said.
Han angled his way back down the path and toward the accommodation suite. Behind him, He heard the Nogri talking to someone else, asking for IDs she almost certainly didn't need. When he got back to his place at the tree, Scarlet was framed by the glass wall. She'd altered her hair and changed stance in some small, subtle, and extremely effective way. She was wearing the same dark pants, the same gray blouse, but she looked like an entirely different woman. The soldier of fortune was gone, and a friendly tourist had taken her place. He wasn't sure how she did that, but he was getting the feeling that she found it useful to be underestimated. He paused at the tree until she twisted away from the droid, smiled, and waved him over. He crossed the courtyard with a sense of being vulnerable. There were too many places around here for someone to hide. That he was one of the people looking to sneak through it only made him more aware of the fact.
"This is him,"
Scarlet told the droid as Han walked up.
"He seriously wanted us to spend the whole trip on the same ship we came here in. Can you imagine anything so utterly boring?"
"I'm sure the gentleman had his reasons,"
the droid said.
"I did," Han said. "They were good reasons, too. Very reasonable."
Scarlet frowned a little, and Han lifted his hands.
"What do you want me to say?"
"He was going on about how much safer we'd be on board ship," Scarlet said.
"Yes,"
Han said, catching on.
Yes, I was. And I'm still not convinced by the security here. We have sensitive documents for business. I don't want to see them lost just so we can have a bigger bunk."
"No need for concern,"
the droid said, shaking its silver gray head.
"The rooms here are securely sealed from the time our guests leave until they return. Not even service droids, if you'd like. Though that does reduce the amenities, of course."
"Not good enough,"
Han said, starting to get into the role.
"I need absolute assurance that my sensitive documents aren't going to be disturbed."
"In addition,"
the droid went on,
"for a very reasonable fee, encryption-locked safes are available in every room. They can even be set for an automatic purge in case of an attempted intrusion."
Han scowled and looked at Scarlet. He raised his eyebrows.
"I don't know. What else do you want?"
"It's perfect,"
Scarlet said, handing the droid a credit chit.
"We'll take it."
"My gratitude, madam. You will be in 17C. If you have any concerns, please only ask."
Scarlet put her arm around Han's again, as she had in the ballroom, and he pulled it back out, unwilling to be steered. Scarlet's smile was merry. They walked down a short, broad hallway of laser-cut stone. Scarlet tapped her fingertips together, her eyes scanning the other rooms as they passed. Han didn't ask what she was thinking about. 17C was a wide room with a low ceiling. The bed was larger than the bunks in the Falcon, but by less than he'd expected. Scarlet made a quick pass through the place, then opened the closet and accessed the safe. It chirped, accepted her credit chit, and clacked it open.
"How's it look?"
Han asked.
"Good and bad," she said. "Magnetic locks. It's just a mechanism, not a droid. So none of the programming workarounds apply. I want to see if I can get any information on the encryption unit."
A brilliant white light bloomed around her, sparks like stars cascading down. Han yelped in surprise and jumped toward her. Scarlet turned to him, concerned.
"Are you all right?"
Han asked.
"Sure. I'm just trying to get to the encryption unit," she said, and held up a tiny matte black tube. "Welding torch."
"Oh,"
Han said.
"Right. Carry on."
The brilliant light came back, and the smell of hot metal. Han lay back on the bed.
"For what it's worth,"
Scarlet said,
"I think she's very lucky."
"Who is?"
"The princess."
"You do? She just watched her world be destroyed by Darth Vader. an hour begging for money mission turn into a get the dangerous information before the Imperial fleet slags the planet mission. I don't see how you get any less lucky than her without breaking bones.
Mm-hmm,
Scarlet said. Han twisted on the bed, looking at her over his shoulder.
Why? What were you thinking about?
Nothing. Here, hold this,
she said, tossing the little welding torch to him. She leaned into the closet. Something groaned, and there was a loud ping. She came out with a triumphant expression and a small, glowing green square the size of her palm.
Coruscant Mount Model 80.
Is that good?
It's better than good. It's possible. I'm going to need to get the door seal protocols, too. Hold on.
She sat on the bed beside him and pulled up the computer. The screen displayed a simple login, and she took a small gray chip out of her pocket and slid it into the access port with an audible click. The screen froze, shuttered, and a stream of complex data started scrolling up. Han sat upright, cross-legged. Scarlet tapped the keyboard. A simple prompt appeared. She started typing.
He got lucky, Scarlet said.
Who?
Hunter Moss. He was working on Galassian's estate as a gardener. He talked one of the security detail into doing something stupid, and then when it went south, he left her to get burned for it.
Sounds like she made a bad choice in partners.
She wasn't as narcissistic as Moss, but she was just as overconfident. I don't know what it is about people that find their own level.
Well, the smart people try not to work with idiots, and the idiots don't know any better, Han said. Makes sense to me.
Do you think they know whether they're the smart kind or the idiots?
Nope, Han said. Hunter Moss is in his room convinced that he's got the galaxy by the hair. The stupidest ones are always sure they're smart.
So we could both be idiots who just think we're competent?
Scarlet asked, picking up the encryption unit and reading something printed along its side.
We know the Imperial fleet's lost a ship that was chasing our boy Hunter, and they know what he's selling. We're on the same planetary hemisphere with that moron. I'm pretty sure we're stupid.
Scarlet tapped the keyboard twice.
He's in 24D. Soul access keyed to his voice.
Han sighed and sat up. I'll go make sure no one kills him.
I'll figure out how to steal his stuff.
Then can we leave?
Oh my, yes, Scarlet said.
So maybe we're not that stupid.
The door hissed open before him and closed again with a snap. Han rubbed his palms together and sauntered down the hallway, trying to look innocuous. The doors to the other rooms followed only the most general of numbering schemes, so it took Han several minutes to find the hallway with the doors marked 24. It was a little shabbier than the 17s, with worn tiles on the floor and a crack in the pale wall. He had to wonder if the droid that assigned the accommodations had taken a dislike to Hunter Moss. Where the corridor ended, there was a small atrium with a pair of couches built into the walls. Han sat on one, adjusting his position until he could see the edge of 24D's doorway. But someone coming out unexpectedly wouldn't be able to see his face. He checked his blaster. It was charged. He sat back and prepared to wait. It was already past midnight. Even if Scarlet found a way in, it would probably mean waiting until Hunter Moss was out at his next meeting. Han wondered where exactly the man had hidden the information when he was meeting with Leia. He hadn't gone back to his ship before coming here. And Han didn't think he was the kind of person who let something important get too far from his hand. Maybe he'd had a data chip sewn into his cape. A maintenance droid hummed down the corridor, nodded to Han, and continued on its way. Han traced patterns in the grain of polished stone walls and counted the leaves on the ferns and ivy that struggled to make the waiting area seem natural and welcoming. His leg fell asleep.
The first time the sound came, Han wasn't sure that he'd heard it. A gentle ticking, like a pebble being thrown against a window. The second time, he was listening for it.
The third time, he drew his blaster and stood up.
It wasn't coming from the same hallway as Hunter Moss's room, but from the next one down.
Han peeked around the corner in time to see something at the far intersection. A shape that ducked out of sight before he could tell what he was looking at.
Someone else was in the corridors, and they didn't want to be seen any more than he did.
He opened a connection.
Scarlet?
Han?
Everything all right with you?
What's the matter?
Nothing, maybe. But you're all right?
Making progress. I think I see how to do the thing, but if there's trouble out there,
I don't know yet. I'm gonna look around a little. If you hear, you know, blasters and screaming,
I'll keep my ears up.
Han cut the connection. He stepped back to Corridor 24. No one. Slowly, rolling his feet heel to toe to keep from making any more noise than the minimum, he made his way toward the intersection where the other person had been. His blaster felt light in his hand. His blood sang in his veins. Through one of the doors, he heard deep, chuckling laughter. At the intersection, he glanced around the corner, pulling his head back quickly in case someone shot at him. Another long corridor. But at its end, a small huddled shape. Someone, humanoid, maybe even human, hunched down, half hidden by a lush stand of ornamental plants half a meter wide and 2 meters tall. Han looked again. Whoever it was, they hadn't turned to look at him. The shoulders shifted as if they were doing something. Han debated for a moment.
There were a million things going on in the Conclave Hive right now that had nothing at all to do with him.
Chances were this was one.
He could pull back, make his way to his couch, and take up his vigil again.
Or he could just make certain that whatever the figure at the end of the hall was building wasn't a bomb. That might be good, too. He slipped around the corner. The dark, hunched figure didn't react. Han moved forward, step by step, his blaster before him. He reached the edge of the stand of plants and leveled his blaster at the hooded figure's head.
"Excuse me, friend,"
Han said.
"Can't help wondering what you're doing there."
The dark, cloaked figure's head came up.
It raised its hands and turned around slowly. It was a Bothan. Han frowned. It was a very familiar Bothan.
Han's gut went heavy with dread. He turned to look into the ornamental foliage at his side. A blaster poked out from between the fronds, pointing at his left eye.
"No need to blame poor Sunim now,"
Bossin Ray said.
"It's just a pilot that fell in with the wrong crowd. You know what that's like. Now, let's try this again."
"You know," Han said, "this is a really bad time."
"Always is that, isn't it?"
Chapter 19.
Han walked as slowly as he could, his mind racing. The hallway was quiet and dim. If there were any security droids or monitors, Han couldn't see them, and no alarm sounded. Either his abduction was going unnoticed, or it was beneath the level of violence that caused concern on Kiamur. Bossin knew better than to actually put the barrel of the blaster against Han's back. Sunim walked in front, close enough to block him if Han tried to run, but not close enough to grab and use as a shield. He considered screaming for Scarlet Hark, but that would spook Hunter Moss. All in all, it was not turning out to be a good night.
"You'll be needing to call our friend Chewbacca," Bossin said. "Let him know about the change of plan, and we'll be wanting to get the Falcon ready to take off. And you can tell him there's no hard feelings about Siorin. I'd have done the same as him.
Your plan is to take the Falcon? Hans said.
Not my first choice,
Bosson said.
But we make do with what the universe gives us, don't we? It's a ship, and we're in need of one.
The hallway reached an intersection, and Sunim held up a hand for them to stop before he sauntered out into it, looked in all directions, feigning innocence poorly, and then waved them forward.
You don't have a ship? Hans said. Did you walk here?
Bosson's chuckle was low and rueful.
I'm afraid my boat's seen her last days. Truth is, I'm doing you a favor, my boy. Putting you back in the frying pan, it's truth, and I'm hauling you off the fire to do it. I dropped into Kiamur's system hot and came in a Borat's whisker from sliding into the side of an Imperial Star Destroyer. They've 10 of them out there. Well, Sunim and I put all the power into our shields and led out for the territories, didn't we? Still sucked down enough plasma to mount our power couplings. Sad end to a good ship. I'd stay and fix the poor dear, but I'm fairly sure this planet and everything on it'll be slagged by morning.
Han's throat went tight. The fleet was here, then. They were out of time. He had to warn Leia, and Scarlet, and Chewbacca. Sunim opened the service door at the hallway's end and peeked out, his ears shifting forward. A pair of protocol droids were walking together in the distance, their plating made from a clear polymer and their circuits glowing blue and yellow in the darkness. Sunim watched them pass, then grunted and waved Han forward.
Step quick, old friend,
Bosson said, his tone less friendly than it had been.
I've got no time or inclination for your cleverness just now.
Bosson, you're playing this wrong,
Han said, not stepping forward.
This thing with Jabba, it's the smallest game on the board.
For you, perhaps,
Bosson said.
Looms rather large for me. Now walk.
Out of the hall, the Conclave Hive's windows were showing a slightly paler darkness, charcoal instead of black. A tiny bird, no larger than Han's thumb, darted up into the air of the great dome above them. Sunim scowled furiously and waved them forward.
Look, Bosson, I understand where you are. Honestly, I've got no hard feeling about any of it either. So before we go out there and can't take any of this back, let me tell you what you're walking out on.
There's not enough honey in the galaxy to sweet talk your way out of this, old friend,
Bosson said.
And I dream that I'm above shooting you, eh? Now move.
You're on the losing side of this. I understand being afraid of Jabba. He's made me nervous a couple of times, and I don't scare as easy as you.
Bosson laughed. That was a good sign. Han talked faster.
What's going on here is bigger than that. Big enough to shut down all the huts. Right now, you and I are maybe 100 meters from information that'll decide who runs the galaxy.
You're old for fairy tales,
Bosson said. Han lifted his hands to his sides, palms out, and started turning around. His skin tingled where he imagined the blaster bolt would strike.
Don't you do that, boy, or I'll end your sad life in this hallway,
Bosson hissed. But Han kept turning. Bosson stood in the corridor, blaster leveled at Han's head. His missing hand hadn't been replaced. It was capped with a steel fitting. Bosson's face was dark with anger, and the trembling in the blaster's barrel wasn't fear. Han gave his best charming smile.
You know this is big,
he said.
I'm not asking you to trust me on that. All you have to do is look. Scarlet Hark shut down operations on Sioran. The Imperials sent 10 Star Destroyers, and when I got here, Leia Organa didn't just pull up stakes and go. So you know, whatever's going on, it's huge, right?
Stop trying to talk your way out of this,
Bosson said, but there was less certainty in his voice.
A tool that can shut down hyperspace jumps. That's what's at stake here,
Han said.
let you determine who gets to move from one system to another.
Bossen shrugged, but Han could see the calculations going on behind the man's eyes. Bossen's gaze softened for a moment, turning inward. Part of Han wanted to leap forward, grab the blaster. He restrained himself.
Everyone's stuck on whatever system they're in, unless you say they can move. Everyone, everywhere, asking permission to travel. Paying whatever tolls you ask. Or just rotting wherever they are if you want.
You're lying.
Did I get the Imperial Fleet to help me fool you? Because 10 Star Destroyers sounds pretty sincere.
Bossen's tongue flicked out, wetting his lips. He lifted the stump of his wrist, scratching at his nose. The Bothan whined.
Boss, we gotta go. Patience, sonim. Cultivate a bit of patience, eh?
Bossen said, and then to Han.
This magic thing is here, on Kima?
No, but the map to it is. That's what the Imperials are after. They've known where it is for a while now, but they want to make sure no one else does. A man named Hunter Moss has a copy of their surveys. Hark and I are here to steal it from him.
Pity that's about to fail,
Bossen said.
It's a big pie, Bossen. Biggest one there's ever been. If you want in on it, it'll be worth more than everything Jabba's got.
Hark's here? On this planet?
In a room 3 corridors from here. I could take you to her right now if you want.
Bossen still wavered. Outside the windows were half a shade lighter. The Bothan lifted his weight from one foot to the other as if he needed to use the toilet and made a small keening sound under his breath. Han waited.
Let's go speak with our dear friend Hark, Bossen said. Maybe there's a bit of room to negotiate.
You're smarter than you look, old pal, Han said.
Bossen's smile was touched with sadness.
Anything seems even a degree off about this, and I will murder you where you stand, you know.
Wouldn't expect anything less, Han said.
They walked back to 17C. Han racked his brain for ways to warn Scarlet what was coming. If he could raise an alarm, she might be able to get the drop on them. But there was no time. He didn't have any tools to work with, and Bossen and the Bothan were watching his every move. All he could do was move forward and hope. At the door to the room, he paused. Bossen was behind him to the left, Sunim to the right. If he spun and caught the Bothan's weapon...
Don't,
Bossen said. Han sighed and opened the door. Scarlet sat cross-legged on the bed. Her hair was pulled back, but a stray lock hung down her forehead. Her full attention was on the deck open before her. The safe gaped on the wall behind her. 3 layers of black metal and complex circuitry opened to the air. The stench of ozone and melted steel stung Han's eyes.
Han, good news. I've got a solid workaround on the door seal, and I got far enough into the comm logs to see that Hunter's been trading calls with 6 people since he got in. Smart Money says he's arranging more meetings. Communication stopped about 20 minutes ago, so either he's even dumber than he looks and he's going to sleep, or he's getting ready to head out to his first sit-down meeting. And we'll be going in as soon as he's gone.
She looked up for the first time.
So, who are your friends, and why are they holding guns on you? Did you do something bad?
Bossen Ray, Han said, walking into the room. Sonim, this is Scarlet Hark. Scarlet, you'll remember me talking about Bossen Ray.
The one who screwed up the drop back on Siorin,
Scarlet said.
Pleasure to meet you.
We've met once.
Huh?
Scarlet said with a shrug.
You're hurting my feelings, miss.
Well, you can put down your weapons and leave quietly,
Scarlet said, her welding tools still in her hands, the deck in her lap.
And no one gets anything but their feelings hurt.
No need for that, no need,
Bossen said.
The good Captain Solo's offered me a share in the proceedings here. Come to parley, haven't I?
The door hissed closed behind them. Sunim's gaze shifted from it to Bossin to Scarlet and back to the door.
Scarlet leaned forward.
I don't have time to screw around, she said brightly. So why don't we start with why I shouldn't kill both of you and drop your bodies down the recycler?
We've got guns drawn already. Even if you're the fastest draw in the sector, your friend Solo's a dead man.
We're not actually that close.
Hey,
Han said.
Be that as may be, Bossin said. I'd still guess that this isn't the moment you'd want to start a gunfight. Inconvenient timing, as it were. Besides which, we've come to help. If what this rascal Han's been saying is even half true, I make us for being on the same side of things. For the moment, at least.
Not sure I'm seeing that,
Scarlet said, and her deck chirped. A thin, grainy hologram coalesced over the bedspread in the hallway outside 24D. Hunter Moss adjusted his cape, shifted a small carrying case from hand to hand, and leaned in, speaking to the doorway. There was no sound with the feed, but from his gestures, Han guessed the shirtless man was practicing his sales pitch. After a moment, the door slid shut.
You put a monitor on him? Han asked.
I went to find you and you were gone, Scarlet said. I went to Plan B.
Replaced by a small cam,
Bossin said.
It's no universe for you and me anymore, Solo.
Laugh it up, Han said. Where's it going?
I don't know and I don't care, Scarlet said. This is our window. I'm not going to let your baggage screw it up.
Baggage? Han said. I don't have baggage.
Well, you do, a bit, Bossin said. No offense, Mint. So we're partners now? Passage off the planet and a share in whatever profit comes from it.
Done,
Scarlet said, shutting down the deck.
Welcome to the team.
Pleasure to be here, Bossin said. Hope you won't mind that I take a bit of precaution. Sonny, my boy, you go ahead to the Falcon. Make sure everything's ship-shape and ready to go, yes? And if our friends here don't show up with me smiling along behind them, well, you know what to do.
The Bothan paused.
Kill everyone. See now?
Bossin said.
You did now. Good man. And off with you.
The Bothan nodded, opened the door, and trotted away. Bossin holstered his blaster and shrugged apologetically.
Hard to find good help in these fallen times.
That's truth,
Scarlet said.
Once we're done, we'll need to be leaving quickly, Bossin said. There's a great flock of Imperial trouble winging its way toward us.
Of course there is,
she said.
All right. Let's still give Hunter Moss a couple of minutes to get away from the rooms. I don't want him doubling back and interrupting us.
Shouldn't we warn Leia about the fleet?
Han said.
She'll know. Don't worry about that part. Let's just keep focused on getting into that room, getting the data, and getting out again.
She looked from Bossin to Han and back again. Her eyebrows raised, and merriment in her eyes.
This woman is crazy, Han thought.
Anyone need to use the facilities? Scarlet asked. Because I'm not taking time out for pit stops once we start.
Bossin guffawed and clapped Han on the shoulder.
You always do know the most colorful people, don't you, old friend?
It's not my fault.
Scarlet stepped off the bed, tugged the wrinkles out of the spread, and began laying out her tools. She hummed to herself, a soft melody just at the edge of hearing. Bossin watched her, and Han watched Bossin. Knowledge of the coming fleet pressed down on the air like a storm. Han told himself that somewhere on the planet, Leia and the leaders of the rebellion were heading to their ships. Chewbacca was finishing prep of the Millennium Falcon. The plans that Scarlet had put in place were unfolding. He didn't know what they were, and he didn't like having faith in them. It was hard not to pace. Bossin caught his eye. His grin was warm and avuncular and false.
Just like old times, isn't it?
Not any times I remember, Han said.
In spirit, I mean.
All right, sure.
For what it carries, I do hope this works. I wasn't looking ahead to feeding you to the hut with any pleasure.
Enough banter, Scarlet said. Focus now.
She put her tools in her pockets and onto her belt with a calm military efficiency and gestured to Bossin.
We're going to 24D. I'll be popping the seal. You and Solo make sure I'm not interrupted.
Shouldn't be a problem, Bossin said.
See that it's not.
The Mirialan smiled and pointed at her with his stump.
I like you. Not the type to play safe or overthink. Quick on the uptake. See the value in things, even when they're unexpected.
Scarlet made a small, insincere curtsy.
You know, if it wouldn't have raised an alarm, I would have shot you and your little friend.
Bossin looked at Han.
I don't think she's fond of you, my boy. Your charms are slipping.
Scarlet stepped out to the hallway, her expression quizzical. She closed the room door behind them.
Oh, he'd have been fine, she said. I'm a very good shot. Come on now, let's get this done.
Scarlet started off at a brisk walk, not running, but wasting no time. Han and Bossin had to trot a little to catch up with her. At the corner, Bossin caught Han's gaze and nodded toward the woman's back.
Was she joking about that?
The Mirialan asked.
I can never tell, Han said.
Chapter 20.
The long stone hallway outside 24D was empty, for which Han breathed a silent sigh of relief. Bossin had his blaster in his good hand, and the bounty hunter wasn't one for subtlety. He wouldn't hesitate to shoot a bystander if he thought it needed doing. Scarlet crouched at the door and started manipulating the locking panel. Bossin rocked on the balls of his feet while she worked. After a few long seconds, the door to Hunter Moss's room snapped open.
So much for the easy part,
Scarlet said, and entered, Bossin right on her heels. Han paused a moment in the corridor, looking both directions, making sure they weren't being followed.
You keep saying that, Han said. It's not as reassuring as you think it is.
When no one ran into the hall shouting at them or triggering alarms, he followed Scarlet into the room and closed the door. In the very short time he'd had the room, Hunter Moss had managed to trash it. The bed wasn't just unmade, it was dismembered. Pillows pounded into unlikely shapes, sheets half pulled off, and blankets in a lumpy pile on the floor. Wet towels lay knotted on the bathroom floor. There were articles of clothing distributed randomly around the room. The R3 that Moss had brought sat in one corner of the room with a wrinkled shirt draped across it and the ratbird sitting on it. The ratbird had defecated on the shirt several times, white-green streaks covering the cloth. When it saw them, it shrieked and danced angrily on the little droid's head. Scarlet was already opening the closet doors and looking for the safe. Bossin poked the pile of blankets with his toe. The ratbird squawked loudly at him, and he pointed his blaster at it.
Don't, Han said. Might set off the hotel's alarms.
I don't like the ugly thing.
Bossin continued to point his blaster at it, but didn't fire.
If it's scary, you can stand behind me,
Han said, smirking at him.
Keep pushing, boyo,
the bounty hunter replied with a smile.
Keep pushing.
The ratbird screeched and shifted from foot to foot, flapping its wings at them. It noisily relieved itself again.
I hope Hunter wasn't planning to wear that to the parties tonight,
Han said.
Filthy, disgusting creature, Bosson said. Can you imagine what the inside of this man's ship must look like?
Han chuckled, remembering a time when he and Bosson hadn't been enemies.
When they'd had a few laughs in shady cantinas across the galaxy. Han could imagine himself making the same choices Bosson had made, reaching a point where there just wasn't enough smuggling work to make ends meet, and the allure of fast cash for bounty hunting became too great.
Could he have wound up there? Desperate enough to hold an old friend at Blaster Point for a quick payoff? If it weren't for running into an old man and a dumb kid in a Tatooine backwater, maybe.
Han didn't have much use for mysticism or ancient religions like the Force.
But sometimes it did seem as if something was maneuvering events behind the scenes. One chance meeting,
and now here he was, working for Leia and the Rebels, and not hunting old friends for money.
Found it,
Scarlet said.
She rapped on the safe door with her knuckle.
It was in the back of the room's largest closet. She dropped to one knee and started pulling tools off her belt.
He probably wasn't stupid enough to leave his key card lying around, but maybe he was. See if you can find it.
Bosson responded by yanking the sheets off the bed and flipping the mattress over.
He holstered his blaster and pulled a large knife, then started cutting the mattress open.
When? Han said. Would he have had time to sew anything into it?
Bosson grunted in irritation, but he put the knife away and flipped the bed frame over instead. Han went into the small refresher and opened all the drawers, dumping the contents in the sink. Most were empty, but one had a few personal grooming implements in it. Nothing that looked like a key card. Out in the sleeping area, Bosson was banging on the R3 unit and demanding that it speak. It had backed as far into the corner as it could and hunched down, trying to make itself as small as possible. Bosson kicked it, and it beeped forlornly at him. The rat bird on its head hissed and snapped at Bosson's one good hand.
Unless you have a protocol droid handy, you won't get much out of that,
Han said.
But check the bird.
You're kidding,
Bosson said, squinting back at him.
You trying to cost me the few fingers I've got left?
Han rolled his eyes and lunged across the room to swat the rat bird off the droid. It fell on the floor with an undignified squeak and started flapping its leathery wings. Han grabbed it by the back of the neck and picked it up.
It hissed and spit and soiled the carpet, but Han didn't let go.
See anything?
He asked Bosson. The bounty hunter lifted the wings and poked at the wiry body.
He's got a necklace or something,
Bosson said, and yanked it off the bird. Han let the miserable creature go, and it flapped back to its perch on the droid. It gave them an accusatory squawk, then fell silent, huddling under its wings and peering out at them with one black eye.
Bosson held the necklace up for Han to look at. A green gemstone in a silver setting spun slowly at the end of a thin silver chain.
Han pointed at it and said,
Scarlet, does this look like anything?
She looked over her shoulder for a second, then turned back to her work on the safe.
Yeah, it looks like a fake. Cheap glass. He must not love his bird that much.
Bosson examined the green gem closely, holding it up to the light, then tossed it across the room with a snort.
He's a low-class criminal you find these days. No sense of style anymore. No pride.
Not like us, right?
Han said.
Joke if you like, Solo. But no matter where we are now, I always respected you. You're like me. You had a code.
Part of it was not turning on my friends.
I know it. But I work for the Hutt, so we can't be friends now,
Bosson said sadly.
Also, he shot my hand off.
I do regret that,
Han said. Bosson nodded again as if the words were sincere.
Hey, boys,
Scarlet said,
don't mean to interrupt this romantic moment, but I need some help here. Bossin, I'm betting you've run a magnetic seal bypass once or twice in your time?
Bossin laughed.
Get elbow deep in that thing, so as I can't draw with Solo at my back. Give me some credit, love. I may be stupid, but I'm not dumb.
I'll do it, Hans said, and walked over to the closet.
Scarlet pointed at a wire dangling from an open panel on the safe with her chin. Her own hands were inside the guts of the device.
I need you to keep that wire from touching the metal of the safe until I tell you to, and then I need you to do it fast, so stay ready.
Got it,
Hans said, grabbing the wire. His finger brushed the exposed end, and he felt a painful tingle shoot up his arm. The panel where Scarlet was working flashed and sparked, and she yelped in surprise.
Don't touch the exposed end.
Hans said. Sort of figured that out.
Scarlet grunted at him.
So,
Bossin started, sitting down on the edge of the room's one small table. Whatever he was about to say next stopped when the door to the room snapped open and Hunter Moss rushed in waving a blaster. In his other hand, he carried a small plastoid case.
Thieves!
He screamed, pointing the pistol at Han.
Betrayers! Hunter Moss makes a fair offer, and you respond to him by stealing?
Han raised the hand not holding the wire and smiled. Scarlet, wrist deep in the safe, could only raise her eyebrows.
Hey, calm down, Han said. This is all a big misunderstanding.
Moss grunted and fell face first on the floor. Bossin stood behind him, blaster in hand.
Please tell me you didn't kill him,
Scarlet said. Bossin knelt by the fallen man and checked his pulse.
No, just gave him a good whack.
Moss groaned as if in agreement.
Up you go, boyo,
Bossin said, pulling Moss back to his feet.
Get over there in the corner and stay quiet, and maybe I won't have to hit you again. Hunter Moss is outraged by this treatment!
Moss started. Bossin cracked him across the forehead with the barrel of his blaster, nearly knocking him to the floor again.
Shush now.
Almost there,
Scarlet said to Han.
Get ready.
Now! Something popped inside the panel where Scarlet was working, and Han touched the exposed wire to the side of the safe. There was a flash of light and the smell of cooking electronics. An arc of electricity shot off the safe to Han's wrist, and he danced away with a yelp.
Hey, warn me next time.
Scarlet smiled and said,
That got the first failsafe. Two more to go.
Speaking of which,
Bossin said conversationally,
is there a reason you're still playing with that? This fellow has the key and the passcode, yes?
When no one replied, Bossin gestured at Moss and said,
Give me the key, friend.
Hunter Moss will not give in to...
Or,
Bossin continued, his tone light and conversational,
I can shoot you in the leg. Is it in that case there?
No,
Moss said, and pulled the key card out of his pocket. He tossed it to Han.
But without the security code, this is useless.
Is that true?
Han asked Scarlet, then bent to pick up the key. She nodded, and did something else to the safe that resulted in a shower of sparks and a scorched metal smell.
Suppose, then, you tell us the code,
Bossin said.
Hunter Moss will never tell,
the thief yelled, which earned him a crack across the mouth from Bossin's blaster. Moss's lips split, and a trickle of blood ran down his chin.
Giving time,
Bossin said, raising his weapon again.
I really think you will.
Stop it,
Scarlet said, her voice muffled and distorted by the tool she was clenching between her teeth.
These safes have a self-destruct. Punch in the failsafe code, and it destroys the contents.
You wouldn't give us the wrong one, would you?
Bosson said, voice filled with mock concern.
Not to your pals, because then I'd have to shoot you, just a lot.
Maybe he thinks you're gonna shoot him anyway,
Hans said.
You can be a very rich man,
Hunter Moss said through his swollen mouth.
The richest man in the galaxy! People keep telling me about these riches,
Bosson said.
Kill them both,
Moss said.
Kill them, and Hunter Moss will share this wealth and power with you. All of space will be ours to command.
Han, Scarlet said, I need you to keep your eyes on the job here. Pull on this until it resists, then hold it steady.
Han grabbed the wire and did as she asked, though putting his back to Bosson while Moss asked him to switch sides made the spot between his shoulder blades itch.
I know this play, friend Hunter,
Bosson said.
We're best as pals, right up until the next fool comes along and you offer him the universe on a platter to put a plasma boat through my skull. No! Hunter Moss's word is his bond! We will be partners in ruling the galaxy!
And if you buy that,
Hans said, keeping his tone light and mocking,
I've got some fabulous property at the core I can sell you.
You've got a ship?
Bosson asked Moss.
We will procure 1,000 ships, armadas, to darken the sky. No,
Bosson said slowly, as though speaking to a child.
Do you have a ship right now to leave this planet with? Hunter Moss's ship has taken some damage, but we can find transport if need be. Pity that,
Bosson said, then laughed.
Maybe you should be quiet now. Let the lady work.
He does wear on a person with all that Hunter Moss this and Hunter Moss that,
Hans said, forcing a chuckle. He had the uncomfortable feeling a negotiation for his life had just happened behind his back, and the fact that the Falcon was flight-worthy was the only reason he was still breathing.
Now,
Scarlet said, practically holding her breath while she spoke.
Let go now!
Han released the wire he was holding, and the door to the safe opened with a quiet click.
Gotcha,
Scarlet said in triumph.
Good work,
Han said, slapping her on the shoulder.
I see why Leia likes you.
Bosson drifted their direction, trying to look past them into the safe. Moss said nothing, huddling miserably in the corner. Scarlet pulled the door of the safe open the rest of the way and looked inside.
Huh?
She said.
It's empty.
Han reached inside, patting the walls of the safe with his hand, looking for a false wall or bottom, or something taped to the sides. Nothing but bare metal. The ratbird screeched at them with what almost sounded like a laugh.
Hunter Moss told you,
the pirate said.
You will never find the data without him. The price will now be very high after these many insults and indignities.
Han frowned a question at Scarlet, and she shook her head. For the first time, she looked lost.
Okay,
Han said.
I guess we...
From behind came the sound of a blaster shot. Han spun around to face the room, his own blaster already in his hand.
Moss was staring down at the smoking hole in his sternum, with a look of puzzlement on his face. And then he crumpled gently to the floor.
Chapter 21.
Scarlet
said. Hunter Moss lay on the floor at Bosson's feet. The thief blinked twice, then fell into the absolute stillness of death. Han realized he was holding his breath and let it go with an effort.
That shirtless little gentleman was a bit annoying,
Bosson said, poking his blaster at the corpse on the floor.
So you shot him?
Han asked.
Now we'll never know where that data is. You've lost your mind, Bossin, and I...
We'll know where it is, because I know where it is, Bossin said, his voice as calm as if he were discussing the weather.
Scarlet nodded at him.
Okay.
Her blaster was in her hand, and she drifted away from Han, the three of them turning into a triangle where every angle was a weapon.
Bossin smiled and slipped the stump of his shortened arm into the handle of the carrying case.
He lifted it until it slid down to his elbow and hung there, swaying.
So let's go back to your ship now, eh? We have what we came for.
Or maybe I leave you here with Moss,
Han said.
And we just take what we need.
Scarlet said nothing, but kept drifting to Bossin's left.
You want to stop there,
the Mirialan bounty hunter said to her.
Makes me nervous, you trying to get to my blind side. It's a sad world where there's no trust.
So what now?
Scarlet asked. Han wasn't sure if she was talking to him or to Bossin.
I think we...
Han started, but his next words were drowned out by a rising high-pitched wail that seemed to come from everywhere at once.
Out of time, boyo!
Bossin yelled at him.
We should have the rest of this conversation elsewhere.
The planetary defense alarms had sounded. The Star Destroyers were in orbit. The Empire didn't need the data Moss had stolen. They just needed to make sure no one else had it. They wouldn't bother landing troops. They'd just bomb the planet to dust and make sure nothing lived to interfere with their plans.
To the Falcon,
Han said to Bossin.
The bounty hunter nodded and smiled. Han tapped his comlink, trying to reach Leia, but the connection didn't go through. The relays were already down.
Scarlet darted out the door and waved an impatient hand for them to follow.
Bossin started toward her, then stopped and turned to look at the R3 and the Ratbird.
You two can come along if you like, he said.
The Ratbird hopped down off the droid's head and flapped over to sit next to its dead master.
The droid burbled to itself for a second, then lowered its wheels and followed after the bounty hunter. When they left the room, Han looked back and saw that the Ratbird was gnawing on Hunter Moss's leg. No loyalty among thieves.
The defense alert still sounded, nearly deafening, but a new noise was starting to eclipse it. A distant, heavy booming like thunder. The orbital bombardment had begun.
People were streaming into the corridor from the occupied rooms, shouting into comlinks and carrying hastily packed luggage. Han saw a diminutive Ugnaught trip over its own bags and fall to the floor, where a passing human stepped on it. Han gripped Scarlet and Bossin by the backs of their shirts so he didn't lose them in the crush of bodies and dragged them toward the main assembly hall. He could see that the street outside was quickly becoming packed with ground transport and fleeing people. By cutting through the gardens and then the conference halls, he could get to the spaceport without fighting the traffic. Scarlet seemed to understand and agree. As soon as she realized where he was leading her, she took point, grabbing his hand in her own and pushing her way through the crowd. Bossin stumbled along behind, content to let them lead. A burly alien with gray-green skin and tusks the size of daggers ran into them and howled in anger. But before Han could even apologize, the air around them compressed in a massive blast wave and knocked down everyone in the corridor. The shock was followed by the loudest noise Han had ever heard. The stone walls all around cracked like overstressed glass, and he felt sure his teeth would vibrate apart in his jaw. When it was over, he pulled Scarlet and Bossin back to their feet and yelled,
"Keep moving!"
He could barely hear himself. There was just a high-pitched whine that seemed to be bouncing